This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Stitcher, shout-outs on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IG merchandise purchases, all have made this show possible for 6 years. Week in and week out, this is our six-year anniversary, and we thank you so much, homies. This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along while Rodecca's in a nice yellow hat. Akua's head has never been rounder, according to Akua. That's not me specifically, and I'm in a durag, so you can do that by going to the link in our show notes. Inner Hoe Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her, and they and them, and who has an overstimulation headache, but is here and queer and ready to cheer. Yay! Ready? Let's go.
Yay! And me, Rodecca, a fat, black, pansexual, polyamorous, existentialist, whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow land her here, whose pronouns are she and they, who's cramping. I have a uterus for sale if y'all are up for it. I don't need it. I don't want it anymore. Just take it, please. But we here.
Better hit up the dark web.
I'm telling you, the whole uterus, you can have it. Go ahead. And Akua, pronouns she and her, who is your friendly demi-omnisexual hoe, who's found joy in the fact that she can control the heat in her apartment.
Well, every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're getting all musical. We're looking at some of our favorite or not so favorite songs of yesteryear and looking at them from the context of sex, love, and dating. And the messages that these songs imposed on our young and impressionable minds. We'll be talking about things like, were we indoctrinated to fuck with broke motherfuckers? Why was the singing group Next that horny? And the unlikely dance hall feminist, and much more. So we're going to get into it. It's going to be a fun episode.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, at InnerHoeUprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can head to InnerHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe and to cop some merch.
All right, cool. Let's get into it. We're going to just hop right in with all of these songs that we'll be analyzing this week. Because of copyright infringement, we're not going to play the songs, but maybe we'll rap or sing the relevant verses.
Because we're not trying to get sued.
No, we're not trying to get sued. We're going to get that kind of coins. Should we start with the song that inspired this episode?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I'll say the whole thing that inspired this. I was doing laundry and I was moving some clothes from the washer to the dryer. And you know, like somebody will say something or something like that and just something will get stuck in your head. Like I haven't listened to this song since, I don't know, 2006 or whenever it came out. But I was moving clothes from the washer to the dryer and I was like, ain't got no money. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm about to sing that song I remember. And then I was like, I ain't got no car to take you on a date. And then something in me shifted. And I was like, oh, wait, what are the rest of these lyrics like?
Something in me shifted.
Because, you know, I was like, oh, we about to vibe. I'm about to sing, whatever, personal karaoke time. Oh, you ain't got no car. I can't even buy you flowers.
Yeah. That's the line that gets me. Really?
Another line that gets me is, but together we'd be the perfect soulmate. Why?
And it's crazy because I can hear the song in my head. And I feel myself jamming to it every
you
time.
You feel yourself bopping.
And it's really one of those things where it doesn't hit you the right way until like you out here and you've been messing with these niggas for a long time. And you're like, damn, what? You made a song?
Yeah, so like, why did that happen? You know, why was that written by Timbaland specifically? Yeah, because he has money, he has a car, and he can buy you flowers.
So who is he trying to relate to?
Who was he trying to relate to and why? And then we get into the bridge, which is Carrie Hilson's part, who is responding to this very broke person. And she says, oh, baby, it's all right now. You ain't got a flaunt for me. See how you get into it, though. We were all, how old were we when this came out, son? You're like, oh, yeah, you got a flaunt for me, it's okay. But what was okay about it?
Nothing.
Would we be perfect soulmates? He didn't even say why they would be perfect soulmates. He was just like, bitch, I don't got shit. I got bunny rabbit. What is it? Bunny ears for pockets. I don't got nothing, but we're perfect for each other. Why? Like, at least justify your claims. And then Carrie.
And then she backs it up.
She says, you ain't got a flaunt for me. Is it flaunting to buy someone flowers?
Flowers.
Oh, I didn't even realize she said, if we go Dutch.
I just read it too. I was waiting for you to say that part. I didn't realize
that's what she said.
If we go Dutch, you could still touch my love. It's free.
No, it ain't.
What is touch my love? Is that her pussy?
I think so. Like it's one of them.
This is anti-sex work, I think. This is also anti-sex work. What were you saying, Akua?
I said, I think it's a double, kind of like a double entendre, like, oh, I'll still love you even though you don't have material things, but also you can touch my coochie, we gonna fuck because it's free. And it's like, that's neither wild. Are free. I'm sorry.
First of all, that's wild. We can work without the perks, just you and me. Once again, like the uses of the perks. How is that perks?
Right. And it's just like, why?
Yeah, this is glorifying struggle love.
It is.
And while capitalism is quite the motherfucker, you know, everybody don't got it all the time, and that's okay. But I think what bothers me about this song is, like, one, it's so goddamn catchy.
It's so catchy. So catchy. I love when I can read the lyrics and I feel it and I'm like, yo. It's just like.
But the insidious nature is, like, not like, oh, our love can withhold the constraints of capitalism or anything like that. It's like, bitch, I'm broke. Like, the first line of this song is, I ain't got no money.
It's not that it's glorifying or normalizing struggle love, but it's also grooming us to be pick-me's. And it's like,
oh yeah. This is a pick-me anthem.
And
this
it's also like, anthem. When we go back to the conversation of what do you bring to the table?
Sure, I ain't got no money.
You don't have to have these material things, but nigga, what you got?
What do you have? Exactly. So like, in trying to sell her to be in a relationship with him, he doesn't offer what he does have.
Yeah, exactly.
He just says, all that I lack.
But we
can be the perfect soulmate, but why? And
our impressionable minds, because we had to be like in junior high school, 11, 12, listening to this. Look it up. Our impressionable minds, we're listening to this and it's like, I'm supposed to settle for
not 14 year old me.
No, same age range. Exactly.
But like freshman year.
Yeah.
High school.
But it's like, it's telling us that we have to just accept and settle for whatever any nigga brings to the table. Like, he's like, I ain't got nothing. It's like, oh, you ain't got a flaunt for me. Mm-hmm. We gonna thug it out. I'm a ride or die. No, I'm a ride and get off.
She says Dutch as if he has the money to at least go have, which is why I was like, she said,
he told you he ain't got no money.
She's listening. She's like, it's okay if you can pay half, that's fine. And I'm like, no, he said nothing. He said nothing.
This nigga said, no, I ain't got no money, son. I got said, no I blame. Got I have no nothing money. For you. I just want to zero in on, doesn't he look like a menace on the album art?
Yeah, he does. He's like,
bitch, I'm broke.
I'm broke.
And I'm going to be driving you to work.
Let me see Carrie. Can I see Carrie's face? Because is she satisfied? Yeah, she's
looking at her. I don't know. She looks a little dead inside.
Yeah, we're hearing this shit all the time.
Why is it called The Way I Are?
I was just about to say, I was waiting for you to get to the next part where it's just like, can you handle me the way I are? I've always hated that.
This nigga said, I don't got no money or grammar, bitch. So what's up?
Or grammar. I got nothing for you.
I got nothing to offer you whatsoever.
Oh, man. I have nothing else to say about that song. I mean, I don't even know how it ends. Let me see a strip. You can get a tip. Oh, no.
Who's giving me a tip? Is that what they're saying in the little fast part?
What is this song about, son? What is this song about? And then the second verse, I ain't got no Visa. I ain't got no Red American Express. We can't go. This nigga don't even got a Chase bank card. A Chase debit card is a Visa, nigga. This nigga don't even got a fucking debit card, son.
Because he ain't got no money. What he putting in the bank, Samantha? What is he putting in the bank?
Good point.
IOUs? He don't got no money.
We can't go nowhere exotic. It don't matter because I'm the one that loves you best. But oh, how?
He's stripping, though. Ooh. I'm about to strip and I'm well equipped. Can you handle me the way I'm on? She's giving him the money.
This nigga has a dick.
He loves her the best, and he has a big dick. That is what he's offering.
That's classic. We found it. That is classic, nigga. Yeah, like that is classic.
But he's offering the strip. I'm actually kind of intrigued. Like, you working for something? Because I'll give
you. No, I don't even think he meant strip like a striptease. That nigga said, "I'm taking off my boxers. That's all I got for you. I'm about to take these clothes."
I thought we was dancing. Okay. I was like, okay.
No, that man ain't giving out a dance.
The verse three. This song sucks, man. It's so catchy. Verse 3 is by John Doe, aka DOE. I have no idea who that is. Okay. I don't even know the cadence of it to sing it. Yeah, baby girl. Oh, I don't got a huge old house. And then he says, I got a room and a house. Oh, yeah.
He said, I ain't got a...
Listen, baby girl, I ain't got a motorboat. But also, what is with this, like, gross, like... It's either I'm flat broke... Or I don't like
huge things.
A motorboat, like
exactly.
It's like, yo, I'm not expecting you to have a motorboat.
I don't know anybody who owns a motorboat.
You're good on that front. You didn't even have to clarify that. I'm okay without it. Thank you.
But he can float your boat. So is that?
Damn, I'm so mad at myself because everything is just like, all right.
You can float my boat.
Am I Carrie Hilson in this song? I'm excited. Oh, where? You can float my boat? A little strip?
Oh, baby, it's all right now. You ain't got a fly for me.
I say, okay, hey.
It's the conditioning, Rodeca. It's so ingrained.
I know. It's sad. I'm really ashamed of myself because every time I hear the music, I'm like, if a nigga was like singing this, I could see myself rocking with it, not even realizing that he was admitting bankruptcy.
Did you know there was a fourth verse on this? They got the broke nigga parade.
Is
on
there
this
an
fucking,
extension?
There's what someone named Sebastian. Yeah, my money ain't aloof like Phil. I don't even know what he's talking about. Uncle Phil. Okay. My money ain't aloof like Phil and them. It's really not quite low as LSN. And then he's like, your body ain't Pamela Anderson. It's a struggle just to get you in the caravan. Oh, no.
You gonna be broke and then bring in the fat phobia?
You insulting me now?
But listen, baby girl, before I let you lose a pound, I'll buy a bigger car. Oh, no. Maybe we shouldn't have delved into this. I didn't know. It got worse than I ain't got no money. Because I didn't know the rest of the fucking lyrics.
And once again, I'm sorry, but my fat ass was like, oh, you going to buy a bigger car to fit me in it? Okay, cool. But I don't know. Everything, I'm settling for so little. I'm so sorry, yo.
You know, I'm so sorry, yo. I apologize to us, but you take note of this. And you take it into your next therapy session, girl.
I'm like, why was I so excited? Okay.
I don't like that his fucking not having a single red cent is equivalent to somebody being fat. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Something is a way of being and something is lacking in, like, your ability to contribute to this relationship.
You see, at least Timbaland was like, up front and was like, yo, I got no money. And she's like, that's cool. This guy started getting a little like, he's like, yo, mad. He was like, I got money, broke, but you don't got nothing. You fat. So it's just like,
he let his lack of coins emasculate him and then turn around to insult me to feel better. No. No, exactly. Don't do that. Don't do that. I was nice about it.
Who the fuck is Sebastian?
I don't even know this verse.
Imagine it's just Timbaland and different. It's Timbaland and a mustache. I'm Sebastian now.
So there's a psychology behind this. Well, there's a psychology and I can't quote it because Lord knows I don't know things. But it's like there's an age where you start listening to music on your own, which is typically this adolescence period that then kind of becomes ingrained in you and like, it's like formative. The music that you listen to in those years is formative because it's kind of like when we're getting that independence from our parents. Because how often were you just listening to whatever your parents listened to? And if it wasn't the radio, Like, if your parents are diehard Christian fanatics, you was probably listening to gospel all the time. So now you get to make your own, you know, musical choices. It's like this step into autonomy and independence. And that music selection can be formative. And I think about it as Dave listens to K-pop. I'm like, I don't know the words, but you don't know the words either. So we good.
Well, can Dave, like, can he speak Korean?
He's picking up little words. I'm like, we about to learn a whole nother language in this bitch.
That's something formative. Yeah, that's formative in a good direction. We was fucking learning to deal with broke niggas. Dave is over here learning a second language.
Yes, we were being conditioned to settle. Well, I think we should stick to theme and go on to the next broke nigga song, because this shit kills me every time. Okay, we are going to Cool by Anthony Hamilton.
I've never heard the song. I actually hate Anthony Hamilton.
You've heard it, Rodeca. Wait till I start to sing.
That is so funny. I actually hate Anthony Hamilton with my entire like being. Like, I wasn't expecting that heat.
And I'm saying this knowing that I'm on this podcast, knowing that I'm being looked at, knowing that I'm speaking. I am not a fan. But to be fair, I am not a fan of any like neo-soul era music at all. And I know it's...
Isn't SZA neo soul?
No. And that's giving her too much credit. SZA is pop adjacent.
Like, anti-vax ass.
Yeah. Oh, she, is he? Is she? Oh, damn. You know what? Separate the artist from music. But
no. No, we shall not.
We cannot. You're right. I did not know that. And it was just my... It was me panicking.
Are you
not
sure knowing that's what else to do. Summer Walker?
Yeah, it's SZA. It's definitely Summer Walker too. But she was like... Something about a demon in it.
No, we don't do Summer Walker off the
okay, album. That's fine.
But like, yeah, I know it's because
I thought you loved neo soul.
No, I know.
I thought everybody on this podcast loved neo soul except for me, and I was always like,
I know that era of music is because
I'm different.
I would always want to listen to something else, and that would be like the shit that Valentine would want to listen to. So like when I was growing up, that was her in her bag music, and I was a kid. I didn't want to hear like. Charlene. I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear stuff. I can't. So like as an adult, I will not try it over again because I hold a grudge against it.
This and is like, I just want to go to the party with my friend.
And it's funny because Halloween, I kept seeing people dressed up as like, I saw somebody dressed up as
Anthony Hamilton.
No, as Biggie and Tupac, and all the comments were like, let them be Paw Patrol. Why you keep, they don't even know who these people are.
Oh yeah, I hate when people dress up their kids. Oh yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Shut the fuck up. She do not know who that is.
Oh man. So this is another song in which they come out the gate no bars held. I'm gonna sing it. Excuse my poor singing, guys. We don't have to worry about no money to have us a real good time, and we don't have to leave in the morning. The whole day just you and I, and it don't have to get any better. You're perfect in my life. If you're cool, then I'm cool, then we're cool. We don't have to worry about no groceries. We can fill up a
That's what I was like, wait a minute, nigga, what do? We can fill up
I a think
who?
I need to eat.
I like to eat. We don't have to worry about no groceries. We can fill up on love alone.
Oh, no, we can't.
No, and I need to eat. Hungry,
no, I need to eat. And if we ain't got enough for a movie, we can just sit at home.
This nigga's the originator of Netflix and chill, but he can't even get no fucking takeout.
Have or a Netflix. Little role play, baby. Whatever turns you on. So I'm hungry.
That nigga's just sitting there.
We sitting at home, and you expect this coochie to get wet, sir?
Expect to role play, actually.
Right, yeah. You expect me to get kinky on top of all of that.
You want me to have the energy? You want me to have the energy to add on a persona? I'm hungry. As hungry. I cannot fill up on love alone. I'm sorry. I can't. I like to eat. I just...
Yikes, like, man.
How am I supposed to be? This pussy gets wet when I'm full. I'm sorry. That's how it works. I don't know what least. You're talking about. Later on in the song, you can scroll down. Right there. Oh, you're right there. It goes, quit your worrying, baby. Quit your worrying, girl. Quit your crying, lady. We can conquer the world. How are we going to conquer the world if we ain't got no money nor no food?
I'm sobbing.
Hungry. She's crying.
I'm sobbing. You talking about quit my crying. So I'm hungry.
Girl, baby, lady, shut up. We hungry.
but you're gonna be all right.
How are we gonna conquer the world?
Nobody has a plan.
Nobody has a plan. That's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, you're not even, I don't know. You're not even like,
none of the people are saying, give me some time to get up on this. Cause the other song was like, yo, we can thug it out for now. This one's like, we don't got nothing. But like, these songs are like, yo, accept me, meet me where I'm at. And I'm like, every girl's just like crying, like, you know, we could meet me halfway. And it's like, nah.
We can go Dutch.
We can go Dutch. Wow.
Ooh, damn. It's the We Ain't Got No Groceries That Can Fill Up on Love Alone that got me.
That was pretty wild, son.
Like,
because that's just not true.
I understand food insecurity is a real thing, but you don't got a plan to go find us a pantry.
Something.
Right.
No resources. Yeah. Nothing at all. You just like.
And then it's also the romanticizing of it, you know, as that being like the woman who can handle this is like the, like, you're a real down ass woman. Mm-hmm. Like, but why would anybody want to handle that? Not saying it's not real, but like, nobody wants.
Why are
to
you
be
subjecting?
Like, hungry niggas
me.
Don't want to be hungry.
Exactly.
Girl.
Why are you trying to subject me to this? And then it's really the quit. You're crying. Not at all, baby. Don't cry. It's like, shut up.
Or even like, I know it's hard. Shed those tears, but we're gonna be okay. It's like, shut. Are you crying now? What's going on with you, man?
Hungry?
The fuck?
What the fuck is this? Mm-mm. No, I'm gonna cry and I'm be worried because how are we about to do this? I don't.
I'm scared.
I'm scared.
Don't worry.
I'm scared.
We don't have to worry about
that. Nah, Sam, when did that song come out? These niggas was wildin'.
I
need
to know.
2008. Ooh, see, 2006 to 2008 was not a good time. And this really was our formative years. I kind of bullshit when I wrote that intro, but these really were our formative years. Oh, no. Somebody needs to do some data science on like the.
I'm conducting the next clinical study. It is what it is.
Like, what is the level of pick me hood as observed on social media, and how does that correlate with the songs that were out when you were like 12, 13, 14? And how will this generation, you know, who is growing up now with these songs and
which, like,
these other kinds of songs in their formative years, like,
these songs are just.
I fuck with it. Some of the songs, I'm like, shit, you know. Pay me. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? I like it. But some of these songs are not that
great. When they're not by cisgendered men. Right? Mm.
Yeah. Mm. When I was thinking about a song, I was thinking about City Girls. I'm always thinking about City Girls. Yeah.
I'm always thinking about Meg. Uh-huh. Like,
I feel like I'm growing up again listening to City Girls, where I'm just like, yo, this is empowering.
Because it's undoing the conditioning.
I like Flo Milli shit, bitch.
Yeah. Flo Milli is great.
Yeah. You know,
and Young Baby Tate. And Baby Mother, and
yes. Yeah, I really like Baby
Mother.
And
undoing all this shit that we were spewed during our formative years. They're like,
no. Yeah, my favorite like female rap or whatever, but like rap by women is not like when they're talking about each other, like, ah, bitch, your pussy.
Yeah,
I don't even know if that's a song, I'm sorry. But I like when they insult men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite anthems.
I enjoy it. Like, there's a Megan line that she's like, oh, basically he's gonna be my food nigga. Here's Anthony telling me we ain't got no food, and Meg is like, no, this nigga, his pockets are designated just so I am fed. This nigga buys my shoes. Like,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
We need it.
There's a new song by Summer Walker and Scissor. SZA, I didn't want to say it. I was waiting. It was on my chest, though. It's a good song.
Her album
just came out. Yeah, it's called No Love, and I was fucking with
it. Oh, I thought it was Fourth Baby Mama.
No, Fourth Baby Mama is interesting. I am very into the Shade Room lately. It's not my whole life, so I know a lot about Summer Walker in her life, and like, I felt like I resonated with.
Is she still feeding her baby 2 peas?
No, I think she's feeding the baby now.
And
but there was
honey,
a time that people were very concerned.
Concerned.
Yeah. That grocery shopping list said 2 peas.
That baby was eating honey and was not
one
even,
apple slice.
Like, let's not. Yeah. I understand trying to be holistic and alkaline and all that type of stuff, but let's feed our baby some food.
Let's feed our baby.
But no, there's a song, it's called No Love, and I fuck with it because it's like, it's basically like, yo, I gave you everything while we were together, and if I could do it all over again, I would just like be fucking and drinking and doing drugs, and I'm not gonna love you. You're just gonna fuck me, and that's it. Like, you didn't even deserve all this shit that I gave you, and I really felt that. I was like, okay, we taking it back. We like, yo,
We don't even need to be all up on the niggas. It's just like, now we'll put you in this category. And it's just, it's a good time. It's definitely in line with how I'm feeling as a person now.
I appreciate that. All right, we're going to get into our next song. But first, Akua's got a little something to say.
Yes, I do. So when it comes to sex, my number one tip is to maximize pleasure by adding lube. Because I believe the wetter, the better. And I'm always on the hunt for new lubes to add to my collection. If you're a lube connoisseur like myself, you'll be excited for what I have in store. You can join me on November 11th as I host Sip and Slide, a Patreon-only show and tell event where we'll talk all things lube, compare our collections, and share tips while we sip. It's a virtual BYO Bev, so you're not required to drink alcohol. You're free to sip on anything of your choice. However, you are required to be a member of our Patreon community to attend. So you can visit patreon.com/inahoeuprising and pledge as little as $2 per month to join our community. You will also find that link in the show notes. Now there are only 4 episodes left until we retreat into hibernation between December 8th and spring of 2022. But don't fret, as we'll still be with you through these Patreon events. So be sure to sign up to stay connected with your favorite hoes.
My song is next, I guess. And I was going to say, we're taking kind of a hard left. And I emphasis on hard. I'm going to go to Too Close by Next.
Mm-hmm. Baby, I get so excited.
You know the song. Came out in 1998, January 27th, 1998. Just Googled it. By Next. And it's a song that I was definitely vibing to when I was a kid. 6 years old. And I want to say within the last 5-6 years have I really stopped and listened to song. And I was like, wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
Me and Sam always talk about being 25 and our frontal lobe like connecting. Yes. And I swear to you, 25, I probably heard that song 25 and was like, and that's when it started. Was like, wait a minute.
It's a radical experience listening to a song for the first time, you know? Even Peaches and Cream, which we were talking about, not too many songs that were on the nose. I knew Peaches and Cream was like a dirty song when I was a kid. But it's nasty. It's nasty now when you're reading. You're like, oh, shit. Like, okay. But, you know, Too Close is a classic example of one of the first songs that was like, whoa. Okay. So the first line is, I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now.
And he whispers it.
And he was, I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now.
And it never, like, it never registered to me as a kid.
Oh, no.
Like, is it bleeped? Like, I don't even.
Yeah, no. As a kid, if you're listening to on the radio, that first line does not play.
Mm. Oh, it just doesn't play. It does not play.
So that's probably why you didn't hear that until you hear it.
I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now. He says, like, such a perverse ass nigga.
Yeah, on the radio, it does not play.
And then it's like, you feel that? All right, come on, don't stop now. First of all, from my experience, right, I've been in the club. I've danced on some niggas. Niggas get hard, right?
Niggas do be getting hard, though.
More often than not, niggas, like, you know, I don't even care. But, like, a lot of the time, it's just like, I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now. I can tell, sir. There's nothing between me and you but these pants.
But fabric.
I can feel you. So let's not front now. And then it's like, don't stop now. What if I want to stop? What if I'm uncomfortable? Now that it became something else. So it's like, you know, baby, we're grinding. I get so excited. Ooh, I know I like it. Try, but I can't fight it. Ooh, you're dancing real close. You see, it's real slow. You're making it hard for me.
Okay.
All the songs you request that you're dancing like we're naked, it's almost like we're sexing. I can't deny it. You could tell I'm excited. So, and then she goes, step back. You're dancing kind of close.
She enforces her boundaries.
Back the fuck up. I can feel you poking coming through. Okay.
A little poke coming through
on you.
This is the part of the song, because when I was younger, I kind of, not fully, but kind of was like, oh, something's happening here. And I'm like, oh, maybe he's just dancing at the club with his girl. It's not until she says step back that I was like, oh, wait a minute. Wait.
It's not even it.
We not.
Then it's like, you know, I can't feel. Now it's like, you know, I can't help it. Okay. But I'm still asking you to back the fuck up.
I'm still asking you to back the fuck up.
Yeah, I don't like that. Now, girl, I know you felt it. Then why didn't you say anything? You know, you didn't try to mitigate this.
I wonder if she could tell if I'm hard right now.
Right.
So you know.
Love that. Wait, go down. I don't know if there's more. I just remember that being like
a Oh, and also, you know what I want to do. This song is disgusting. I fucking hate this song. Why is it so catchy?
That's how they get you.
Baby, when we're grinding.
Oh, baby, us dancing so close ain't a good idea. Because I'm going to want you here and now. The way you shake it on me, it makes you want you so bad sexually.
Sexually, oh girl.
And then she again requests for this man to that. I'm uncomfortable. You know, even reading this, I'm like, none of this feels like I'm having a good time. It feels like you're letting me know what you want, and I'm letting you know what I want. But for some reason, we're still talking about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is there, let me see the bridge. Let me see, because you know, bridge is usually the justifier. I love it when you shake it like that.
I shake it like that. I see that you like it like that. Which is, but that's not the same girl, though.
Had to be.
She was like, step back.
Yeah, and now she's like, about, like, oh, or maybe she's just like, she's tired. I see you like it, clearly, back up. You know? But yeah, it's another song. Even though I don't like it, the words, I'm still, if it comes on, I'm singing this song.
It's
on.
We gotta really, we gotta shout out to that nigga. Fuck, why you always lying?
Oh my god,
because he remixed it perfectly. He did. Some songs just need remix, like the hook, the beat, yes. And all that kind of shit, yes. Was nice. The rhythm was nice, but the lyrics were garbage. So shout out to that nigga who is from Queens, by the way.
Yeah, there was a time, but I don't know why I just keep divulging things that I did as a younger person. There was a time that I wasn't grouping for these niggas, but like that group of niggas.
Next,
no,
oh, the funny niggas,
the funny niggas.
There's mad funny niggas from Queens. Shout out to Shiggy,
and they Shiggy too. So like they would have parties back to back, and I would keep going, and I kept saying hello to them and talking to them, and they were mad nice. And Capri had one party where they walked in, and like the first
Capri
person
is from Brooklyn.
The first person that he danced with was me, and I was mad hype. And then later on, everybody was like, "I got no Capri. He ain't even all that." I was like, "All right, damn, like I can't even have
let me have points. Like, let me have
you know what I mean." I felt kind of cool. I felt chose. But yeah, no.
Everybody's dance with Capri. Yeah,
that's literally what people hate to be. And I needed to be humbled, so it was fine. It's fine.
No, black women should never be humble. You did not need to be humble.
There we go.
They could have had let you have your moment, even if they knew that nigga was for everybody. Let you have your moment.
Right?
You found joy in that. Why did they steal your joy?
I felt like that bitch that night, you know? And everybody danced with me afterwards. So I was
you were that bitch.
I was.
Capri is cute, though.
He is.
All right. Well, I'll circle back in the rotation. Well, let's do a quick one because I don't have too much to say about it because I was supposed to do like more research, but I didn't. Sorry. I was.
Was it 7-Eleven?
It is 7-Eleven.
I love that song.
Ooh, let's talk about 7-Eleven.
Yes.
Because I had to re-listen to it and I got a hot take on it. So, or not a hot take, but a reinterpretation.
So this song is 7-Eleven. It's a dancehall song by the artist Dexta Dapps. So his haircut is wild. So
let me
see. I didn't need to note that. Oh, okay. Hold on. It's just, I don't know why he does that with his hair. Hold on.
Oh no.
Oh, I hate it.
I don't like when people have locks like this, and I don't like when people have braids.
It's like, some people do that, but like, he took it to a whole nother level, like, where it's like.
You know, those eyes are getting him a lot of places.
A sixth of his hair is a dark Caesar, and then the other 5/6 is braids. Like,
not Samantha breaking it down into a mathematical equation.
I know, it's the 5/6 for me.
It should be at most a 12. It's a full sixth of his head is a dark Caesar, son. What the fuck is that?
Talk about taking us back to our formative years. Samantha said, let's go back to fractions. How about that? Like, not a sixth of his head. Because
it used to be like, look at this. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
A 24th? That's good.
That's fine. But
Sam, we were supposed to agree with a 24th. I was supposed to be like, yeah, that looks like a 24th right there.
That's a 48th.
Okay.
All right, back to the song anyway. All right, so what should be? I guess we just do the chorus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So when you have 10 man, me have to be 11. Me never ask them for watch you.
It's pussy.
I think it's actually
pussy.
Yeah, this is the censored version. Me never have to ask them for watch your pussy for me that me I tell them. When them say 6 man, guess who makes 7? Gal, your pussy still feel tight. Then the time me take your maiden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take your maiden.
Right.
These ain't the lyrics. Mm-mm.
Yeah, this is Rap Genius's radio cut version. But basically what is being said is like, after you've had sex with 10 men, I'll be the 11th. And when they say you've had sex with six men, I'll be the seventh. Girl, your pussy's still tight. Then as the time that I took your virginity.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I didn't ask anybody to watch your pussy. I didn't ask anybody to do that.
Yes.
It's just, you're good.
So when I first heard this song, I was like, this is a very like sex positive song. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't quite like the take your maiden terminology, but you already know how I feel about virginity if you listen to the show, and that's a social construct and things like that. But yeah, I always thought the song was pretty positive. But I had one conversation with a Jamaican one time. And I don't remember which Jamaican it was. Yes, as Rodeca mentioned two episodes ago, I am Jamaican, but like ethnically, like mm-hmm. my dad is Jamaican, but I didn't grow up there. I don't speak Patois on a regular basis or anything like that. But whatever Jamaican I was talking to was like, I don't really think it's as sex positive as you think, Sam. But I don't remember why they said that.
So I will try to insert that. So in first listening to this song, I thought that he was just talking about a woman. Right?
Wait, hold on. Sorry, not Rap Genius. This song is about a girl that Dexta Dapps likes, who everyone thinks is a thot. Even her brothers think she is a hoe, but Dexta believes that.
Yeah, so when I first heard this song, I thought he was just talking about a woman that he's hooking up with. But in re-listening to it when we were preparing for this and reading the lyrics, I realized that he's talking about his girl. This is his girl. When he says, took your maiden, he means that he took her virginity, but also married her. Like, he's the first woman she's ever been with. And everyone, including a girl named Natalie, who's preying him, is trying to break them up. So he's like, this song is a retort to them saying, yeah, this is what you're saying. If she's fucked 10 men, I'm gonna be the 11th because I know I'm the only man she's ever been with.
Oh.
Okay. So he's speaking hypothetically, not
literally. Because I was like, you were trying to be number 11 and flip. But he's like, no, I know y'all are lying. So sure, she's been with 10 niggas. I guess I'm the 11th.
Dapps has publicly stated on numerous occasions that if the girl really is the thot, he doesn't want to be with her. But again, until proven that she sleeps around a lot, if they say 10, he'll be 11. Yep. No, not
you know what? Positive. I rebuke this.
Okay. Art is how you interpret it.
I rebuke it. I'm adamantly rebuking this because this is one of them songs that if it comes on, I am singing every word passionately because I felt so emboldened. I was like, I have never heard a nigga say, especially
not even a nigga.
Are you kidding me? Where they're just like, yo, if it's 10 niggas, I'll be number 11. Because I didn't even ask all that. You know, you still good in my book. That's why I was fucking with it. So now it's like, oh, if you get confirmed that she's a thot or a treesh, as the youngins say now, then all of a sudden, should I start saying treesh? Are we going to start saying treesh?
Treesh! Who's starting to say treesh? I am of my age. That's a New York thing. You a thot.
That's a fact. And I'm just confusing me.
Thot came to be when you were already an adult. Cool.
Okay.
So ooh, you can't hark back to the good old days of thot. If you were harking back to the good old days, we would be saying pop. Ooh, and I ain't never saying no pop up in here. Yeah, I always hated that term.
I hated that too.
Because of finger popping, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly why I hated it. Yeah.
Or jump off. Yeah. Those were our terms.
Yeah.
I think I resonated with that.
He does say, can me almost believe it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing I'm not a fool.
He never believed it. Yeah. He never believed it. Look at me skipping over that part for the past 7 years.
And Natalie's out here being a hater. Natalie's being such a hater.
Natalie. Yeah, Natalie wants to fuck him. Natalie wants to fuck all 5-6 of his braids. Yeah. Well, okay.
Wanted him.
That's that. All right. Before our next song, we're going to hear me speak a little bit. So this week marks the 6-year anniversary of Inner Hoe Uprising. Whether this is your first time listening or your 6th year listening, we thank you all so much for engaging in this wonderful community we've built for these past years. Thank you, everybody. And we also asked, do the conversations in this podcast resonate with you? Do they help you learn some new shit, help you unlearn some old shit, or just allow you to have a good ass time? I should hear resounding yeses because it's been 6 years, niggas.
All right.
It's been 6 years. And we love to hear that, and we love all of your support. So if you would like to support the continuation of this podcast, if you're listening to us, you can go to your favorite podcast app and take a moment to subscribe or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies, specifically in the Apple Podcast app. If you have a little extra change, you can drop some cash in our PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and all the weekly goodies that we are putting out for you on Patreon for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. They've been doing the damn thing for 6 years. We thank and love you all for your continued support. As Akua mentioned earlier in the episode, programming note, we will be going on an extended break beginning in December of this year and returning in spring of 2022, but you can still catch up with us weekly on our Patreon. Back into this next song.
I'll throw in my song.
Which, if you say the song, I'm going to laugh because... Which I one? Think you are you doing Permission?
Yes, I'm doing Permission.
I'm laughing because that is a neo soul song, and I love that song.
I like that song too. I really like that song too. So much. Everything has it made me. You know, feel I feel like when it comes to genres of music, yeah. You know, people are always like, "I love everything, but rap and country or whatever the fuck they eliminate." I truly do love at least one song from every
That's a fact.
Some country songs, Shania Twain. That's my bitch.
Country niggas be going the fuck off. They be going. Need to stop disrespecting. Yeah.
Yo.
All right, what's this nigga's name? Ro Luke?
Ro James. James.
Not all of the pieces of the Bible, Jesus. Samantha said. Ro Matthew,
Ro Luke Paul, James, and yeah.
Ro Deuteronomy.
Sorry. I just be mixing shit up. I'm just becoming my mom. I'm sorry. I don't know
no, this is really the age where we just become our parents. Do y'all not feel it? Because I feel it. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah.
I've been feeling it for a minute.
The one thing that is like when I'm trying to refer to a person that I know, and like granted it's my mom with her children, but I'd be like, I'll cycle through all my friends' names, especially in the same group. And I'm like, it's you. You know who I'm talking about. Sam, Kula, Rob, yo.
Y'all know.
Come on.
That whole
point
thing.
At you. What are those? Yeah, definitely that one. Where I was like, how can you not know my name? Now it's like, I barely remember my own. Okay. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying.
So this song I like because it's all pro-consent, number one. And it's mad smooth. He's like, with your permission, I just want to spend a little time with you. I'm not on melody, y'all. I don't know the melody.
It's okay. I felt it. I'm right there with
you. Let me auto-tune it in post. No, just kidding. I edit these in 4 hours. I'm not
like none of that.
It's like very much like he came, unlike Anthony and Timbaland, who came straight out the gate like I ain't got nothing.
I'm broke.
He came out like it's all about what you want. You gonna let me show permission? I was like, I like this a lot.
2015.
Oh, okay. See?
We turned things around.
We started to turn things around.
Yeah.
Come on, give me that green light. Yes, green, purple, red, yellow, all the lights. Let's go.
Yeah, you can let your hair hang down, but only if it feels right. Mm-hmm. So it's like ongoing consent.
It's ongoing consent.
He wants to please her or them. Mm-hmm. I just want to put a smile on you. Mm-hmm. It's all about your pleasure.
It just felt like care.
Yeah, I've always liked this song. I think there was one line that always made me feel like, what do you mean by that? But I don't remember what it was. Is there another song like this?
Greenlight?
Oh, so there, my next song is Greenlight. And that might be what it harkens you to.
That's not the same fucking song?
No.
Oh, God.
Greenlight is by John Legend. And
that's not what I was thinking.
Greenlight is a fun song.
That's not what I was thinking.
So I used to think that Greenlight was a song about consent, but it ain't. It ain't at all.
Oh, no.
Really?
It is very, it's hidden coercive consent.
Oh no, not John Legend, girl.
And Andre?
And let's go through it. Let's get to it. It's, give me the green light. Give me just one light.
Something about give me makes me uncomfortable.
Ready to and then go the, I'm right ready to now. Go, yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah, the
I'm
song,
I'm ready
okay.
to go right now. Mm-mm. Yeah, like.
1, 2, 3, green light.
As you all right, y'all niggas have to talk. This is a podcast.
I'm sorry. We gonna
I know,
sing.
Right? We just sit here like jamming.
But yeah, like as you get into it, it's like it kind of seems like he's asking for your consent, but it's really pushy. It's like, give me the green light. I'm ready to go right now. Sir?
Dying to meet you, so let's mess around. Got an obsession of us getting down. That's some coercive language right
there. And this is all your perspective and your pleasure. When we juxtapose this to Ro James and John Legend, it's like, oh, this isn't as consent-y as I thought it was. You're kind of acting like you want my say in this, but you're pushing your agenda. You're ready to go right now. So, like, give me an answer. No, let me think about it.
It's never a you, you know? I'm ready to go right now. We could go all night, but, like, not. What do you want to do, girl? Like, all right, let's get into this three stacks. Does he have a verse or something like that?
Oh, yes. I think he passed it. There it is.
All right.
Oh, so I went hard like Medusa staring at me. I told her, let's go. Let's blow this lame nigga factory. She said, what kind of girl do you think that I are? The kind that you meet in a bar. You think you can get whatever you want because you're some kind of star. No, I'm a comet. Yeah. Hey, if I were you, then I'd be the one I go home with. Three, the one and only. One thing you ain't considered. I heard that you told your girl, ooh, he can get it. Admit it.
You did it.
Let's hop a cab and split it. I'm kidding.
Not people Andre 2000 splitting living. A cab with me, bitch. Nigga, you're rich. The fuck?
And then assuming that
so I'm about stimulant.
To... Number one, you're coercing me into coming out, to leaving with you. Admit, you know, eavesdropping on what I told my friend. Yeah, I told my friend you could get it. That don't mean you could get it today. And then three, assuming that I'm about to be hosting this. Why are we going to my house? I didn't say my house was free.
Was this when he was with Erykah Badu? He couldn't go home. he was cheating.
This is genius, right?
Yeah.
Can you click the Anita Baker and Robin Givens line? Because I really want to know, why would I want to be more like Anita than Robin Givens? Oh, wow.
Because okay, Robin Givens got beat up by Mike Tyson, probably.
And there's this like reputation.
Wait,
of Robin.
What? Wait, hold on. I hope you more like Anita Baker than Robin Givens. Da, da, da. Robin Givens is notoriously alleged gold digger as well as ex-wife of Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I never knew that.
So, like,
she's an actress.
Exactly.
That's all she's known for right now in this thing.
There's this reputation.
And why would you put her in a position of, after she got domestically abused?
There's this reputation that Robin Givens is like this mean woman. And I think it's based on a lot of like the characters she plays. But like, you don't know that lady.
Yeah. And he does say it in the next line. He's like, I don't know that lady.
Also, let me quit.
And Anita Baker, you know, makes songs that like cater to niggas or something. I don't know. I ain't listened to a lot of her music back in the days, but like the juxtaposition makes me feel like, oh, one is more, let me cater to you, soft, docile, and Anita.
One time for my LA bitches, no time. What does the J. Cole say?
One time for my reminds LA bitches,
sisters.
One time for my LA hoes. Oh, sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he says.
Lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who knows.
I hate that song.
When I broke up with one of my exes, he posted that because I did not want to be saved, apparently.
Corny ass niggas, son.
I didn't want to be saved. So I'm good.
I actually have one more for a very non-consenty song, which...
Uh-oh. Is it when Mystical came here with his dick in his hand? Because none of us wanted to see that.
I actually loved that. And it was like, wow, why are you here with your dick in your hand?
This reminds
why
me of
are
a
you
song
that horny?
That just randomly came up in my head.
Uh-huh. But this song is Lil Freak by Usher.
Ooh. Oh, and Nicki Minaj. Yeah, that is coercion.
Ooh, I don't like any of it, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me?
Yeah. Also 2015-ish. No, that was like 2010.
Was it? Songwriter Stevie Wonder.
Stevie?
No, it's a sample. It's a sample.
Oh.
That da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But it said songwriters. Oh, yeah, they still have the credit. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's why I hate when, like, oh, this is a weird example. I don't love Justin Bieber that much. But like, baby, oh, people will be like the credits and it'll be like 16 songwriters. People are like, Justin Bieber couldn't do that by himself. But it's like, no, it's the samples.
It's the samples.
Yeah. That's misinformation. That's why I hate it that much. Mm-hmm. Or disinformation. Anyway, Lil Freak. Let's get into it.
But yes, Lil Freak. Really, it's just to set the stage as Usher. He's in this club and he's using his status to coerce women into threesomes that they don't want to do. Like,
that is what it is.
Why I'm so mad.
Give us some lyrical examples of it.
So yeah, it's like, if you're coming with me, really coming with me, you go get some girls and bring them to me. You let her put her hands in your pants, be my little freak. I don't want that lady's hands in my pants.
Yeah, this is really coarse.
Like, I don't, all under this this guise of like, oh, you could say you fucked Usher. And then I remember looking at this song, I was like, oh, this is really coarse if it came after Greenlight. But there's mm-hmm. another song by Usher currently out called Bad Habits that I flippin' okay. hate.
Really? Why? Should I look up the lyrics to that?
Well, that's going to get me into a whole tangent about songs that
yeah, maybe we do a
that boil my blood. We can save that for later, but we can rotate. But this is just another example of just very coercive. Because I remember listening to Lil Freak. I'm like, oh, this is a little nasty. All right. Go ahead, Usher. But then you sit and read the lyrics and it's like, but she didn't.
It's really the whole, you know, when the phrase sex positive kind of reached its peak or whatever, but nobody really interrogated or unpacked like what was actually sex positive and what was not. So it's like, oh, you being freaky. That's all good in my book. We're but like, no.
Out there. No.
Yeah. And like Nicki Minaj's fake, maybe not fake or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's in her heart other than like rape support. fake bisexuality. Mm-hmm. Like this song was like the epitome of that.
Yes. Agree.
Yeah.
Agree.
It was always like, I will have sex with another woman, but is there a man involved? Like me, you, and Am, Minaj Friday, and all that kind of shit. Rodeca, it's your song.
I'm going to go with Rain.
Rain?
Rain by SWB, yes.
Okay.
Ooh, unpack this one for me.
Did not know. Okay.
It was about cum?
I didn't know it was Rain. About cum.
Oh, really, Rodeca? Girl. No.
Shielded childhood.
I really thought it was about, like, just love. Taking over a person, you know?
Yeah, that's what they
want. And then Kanye sampled Rain, which I love, for his gospel album. But yeah, that was pretty much it. I kind of just like, it's Too Close and Rain are just two songs where I'm like, what? We were really doing that?
Did you know Candy Rain was also about sex?
And I really feel like I'm shocked by like, I don't think there's any songs. And I think I want to like round it all up by saying like every song that I listen to now, I didn't realize how much of a sexual meaning was behind all of them. Like there's, songs are about pretty much sex, drugs, or money.
And money.
Like,
and it's always been that way.
Yes.
And it will always be that way.
It's always been that way and it will always be that way. And it's just shocking to me because I'm like, what was I doing before? And it really makes me think of those times that like, you shouldn't be listening to those songs because they're too sexual. And I'm like, I really didn't know. Like, you would, the meaning was lost to me. So please, like, we're okay. Now I'm just like, damn.
I love that for us. Okay, I can wrap up with City High. These three motherfuckers right here were menace to societies. We're menaces to society.
Not menaces.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the early 2001 hit, What Would You Do? Which honestly, I think that is a formative ass song.
Yes.
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. Saturday night, I was at this real wild party. They had the liquor overflowing the cup. About five or six strippers trying to work for a buck.
What?
I took one girl outside with me. Her name was Lonnie. She went to junior high with me. I said, why are you up in there dancing for cash? I guess a whole lot's changed since I seen you last. She said, what would you do if you was at home? Crying on the floor in the bedroom floor because he's hungry. And the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man for a little bit of money. And his dad is gone. Someone's work. In and out of lockdown, I ain't got a job now. So for you, this is just a good time. For me, this is what I call life.
Why is it busy?
These niggas are like the J. Coles of their time. Like, they thought they were woke. They thought they were saying some real shit. But the shit they were saying was fucking problematic. So this nigga, Robbie, is at a party with five or six strippers. But he's judging this girl who he knew in junior high for stripping. Make that make sense.
Make it make sense.
Like, what the fuck?
So because you know her, you can point her out from a place in your life. All of a sudden, it's an issue. But if you ain't know her, you would have enjoyed all the ass shaking that you saw. You would have threw you once. And
I feel like off that energy alone, he don't tip strippers very well.
He don't.
Not at all.
He just, he's
a spectator.
He seems like a I ain't got no money ass nigga. This is a Timbaland ilk. This is of Timbaland's ilk, okay? I know that Claudette, I guess, is going through a lot, but wasn't that a trauma dump?
It really was. It really was.
It could have just been like, what are you doing at this party? Like, oh yeah, I'm here working. What would you do if your son was at, like?
And the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man with a bill of money. And I was just like, yo, that's real. I get it. But like, all I asked you was why are you here?
Well, no, it's not even, but that's not all he asked her. There was judgment in his tone.
There was judgment.
You're right.
When you have this kind of trauma, you going to fuck back. Like, that's true. You don't know what I'm going through, my nigga. Don't judge me.
Don't even know what's going on over here. You're right.
That's true. Was a trauma dump.
He bucks back a little bit.
He does buck back. So I don't know. I don't agree with her responding in that way. I think
I don't, nigga,
leave me alone.
Like,
let me go back inside.
I'm tipping. Exactly. Like, it was the whole part of like, what would you do if your baby? If this is the only way I feed my baby, but then we went into the daddy's background. He ended out of jail. We didn't need all that detail.
This nigga's on crack. Like. Can you calm down, man? This is a bachelor party.
I'm just trying to.
Right, so then he does bug back. Girl, you ain't the only one with a baby. That's no excuse to be living all crazy.
How you know my life is crazy?
I said I had a baby and I don't have money, nigga. That's two different things. That's two different things. Then she looked me right square in the eye and said, every day I wake up hoping to die.
It was a lot, y'all. Lot.
Help, my good sis.
I don't know why I want to be at a club somewhere and someone asked me a question and I just recited like
every day I wake up hoping to die.
But can we see the level of pain that this lady is?
Of course.
She is brimming, son.
I'm so like, how is she even dancing with this?
And then she talks about how she knows about pain. She talks about her backstory. Like, yo.
Yeah, that was. Then it gets really dark. She talks about childhood sexual assault. This song was a lot, bro.
It was a lot.
And this is another song that until I got older, I was not paying attention to what was going on in here.
Nah, I was always like, these niggas are doing a little bit too.
Like, he caught Claudette on a bad night. She was just at her point, okay? She was like, I'm going to come in here and dance. She was just going to make her way through the best she could. And this nigga came with his shit and just unlocked it all. Yeah. She was at her point, okay? She was at her point.
So well, then the chorus comes again. Somewhere smoking rock now, in and out of lockdown or whatever. And it's just like, the thing with like conscious music and conscious, I guess, R&B and hip hop specifically is like, you will acknowledge that there are issues. But your analysis of the issues is so severely lacking. Like, what's the point of this song? What are you trying to say, nigga?
Oh, he says
she should pull herself up by the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. That's what he says later.
Yeah.
He's like, what would you do? Get up off my feet and stop making tired excuses. Like,
how is that a tired excuse?
It's not a tired excuse. Like, I really told you a lot. I told you a lot that was going on.
I told you several
None
things.
None of it was an excuse. And
it wasn't because she's like, I am off my feet. I'm at this fucking party dancing for you dusty ass niggas.
Like, you having a good time. This is my job, nigga. She literally says that. I'm doing what I have to do.
Like, I'm getting up off my feet and making this cash how I know how. And it goes back to the fact that they don't see sex work as real labor.
They don't see sex work as labor. Exactly. Yep.
It's an excuse and an easy way out. No, I'm out here dealing with your nasty, I'm musty, literally judging ass.
Yep.
When I don't want to. I wanted to take the day off. I wanted to sit with my baby and put my feet up. But guess who had to come dance for you? Because you wanted strippers at your party.
Exactly.
And you will come here and judge me after all I've been through.
Another thing he says is in his judgment, girl, I know if my mother can do it, baby, you can do it.
See, I just threw some because that right there boils my blood. I am so tired of niggas seeing black women in their life struggle and then think everybody got to struggle because that's the way it need to be. No. Your mama did it because she had to. That don't mean...
She didn't want to.
She didn't exactly. have to.
She didn't fucking want to. And who's to say your mother wasn't fucking selling some pussy on the side too, nigga?
Because do you
like
know?
She was going to tell you.
Exactly.
It's not like she was going to tell you.
Because you was at home alone on the bedroom crying. But when she came home with some goddamn milk and bread, nigga, that was pussy money. Okay?
Exactly. And you had, guess who had French toast that night? Guess who had French toast?
She should have sat with her son and said, we don't need food or groceries.
We can fill up on love alone.
Imagine his mom just came on. I ain't got nobody.
I ain't got no car to take you to school.
I ain't got no car to take you to school, nigga. You homeschool now.
But together, we're going to make it through.
We're
going to
be just fine, baby.
Don't cry.
Quit
don't
your
cry, little boy. You want to go Dutch, son?
Quit your whining. Quit your worrying. We're going to conquer the world. We ain't got it, but we're going to be fine. That's all niggas got to offer. Judgment and nothing. No answers. No proactivity. Nothing. Yeah, it's a damn shame.
I rebuke City High. No, but
that song was a lot. Like I always thought the chorus was a lot, but them actual verses was a lot too. Like that.
Yeah.
Sis scoped it out. She was
on a sequel follow up episode because we got to go. But I will do Caramel because that is another fucking menacing song, man. I hate these niggas, City High, bro. I hope they're like okay in life. Like I don't wish them ill, but they are menaces to fucking society. 2001 was a bad time. 9/11 happened, sure, but also City High.
But also City High unleashed this on us.
Okay. Oh, last comments before we wrap up.
Maybe. This is why I don't listen to music no more. I realize that I don't listen to music no more. And this is why. I always think, oh, I'm into music. I'm not. I am not. I be lying. I am not.
That is funny. All right. Well, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself or the music that you used to love in a good way or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate all of you. Happy 6-year anniversary, guys.
Happy 6-year anniversary.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you know, say happy 6 years to us as well, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe or to cop some merch. And you can follow me, Rodeca, at The Darkest Timeline on my regular Instagram. I don't want y'all on my Finstagram no more. Y'all be annoying me, so.
Ooh, set a boundary one time for the one time.
It's just, there's too many niggas on there now, so I'm just like, it don't feel safe no more, so I'm just like, y'all can go.
Niggas have made it an unsafe space.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but Darkest Timeline, you can follow me there. And pronouns are she and her. She, her, they, and them.
You guys can follow me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
You said it like you were gonna say something.
I know, I was waiting for it, and then she said,
and I just sat back.
I was like, wait, she didn't say anything
else. I'm Slam Rid on Instagram. And Twitter, niggas. And yeah, thank you very much. Happy 6-year anniversary. Have a lovely week because you motherfucking deserve to. Bye.
Bye.